The following program is for entertainment purposes only. It is not medical, psychological, or psychiatric advice of any kind. For any of that, please contact your doctor. On today's episode of Dream Meanings, a woman is chased down a road and attacked while carrying her baby. What does this dream mean? What does it mean when two separate people dream about catching butterflies together on the same night? How could a childhood trauma influence dreams where the settings are always changing? And when a man dreams of wandering through a castle with a lost love, what does it mean? We're going to talk about all these and more on today's episode of Dream Meanings. 1-800-606-7193 is the phone number to call to share your dream with us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can also write in on our website at dreamingradio.com. That's dreamingradio.com. And just click on the Submit Your Dream Here button, which is prominently displayed right there. And you can write in your dream. We may read it on a future episode of the program and give you some insight. Always kind of interesting to hear from folks who may not know you very well to get their perspective on things where it's not construed or weighed down with some of the other information that your friends, your family may know about you that may go, well, it's about this, it's about that. Sometimes it may not be about those things at all. Maybe about things that you're not aware of, they're not aware of. And that's what we do, just trying to provide an extra voice to the consideration when you're trying to figure out what the confusion of dreams may mean, because that's what it is so many times. I wish I had that for my dreams. I try and analyze some of mine myself, and I think it's one of those things where you almost need the outside perspective to really get an accurate grasp on it sometimes. So anyway, please do submit and press subscribe on whatever platform it is you listen to us on. We greatly appreciate that. That helps us grow in the ratings and the rankings, and it allows other people to find the show and know that we exist without being on those charts. We're pretty much just out there somewhere in the ether. But if we show up on the chart because you guys liked us and gave us a nice review or something or subscribed, that certainly does help. So please do like us on our specific Dream Meanings page, whether it be on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, whatever the case may be. The 2 seconds it takes to do that, we greatly, greatly appreciate it. Let's jump into one of our calls this week and hear a dream. Hi, you are on Dream Meanings.
Hi, guys. Just calling in because I wanted to let you know about a couple of dreams that I've been having, and they're reoccurring, and just wanted to get maybe somebody's take on it. My name is Angela. I live in Georgia right now. I've called the other line before with interesting stories as far as, like, the paranormal. And this is, you know, obviously about dreams. It's a little different. And I live in Georgia. I grew up in New York. And I have these reoccurring dreams. One of them is, in particular, is I'm in a boat out in the middle of the ocean, and it's very dark out, and it's because it's nighttime, and the water is very dark, and you can't see. And I'm surrounded by humpback whales who keep jumping out of the water and keep go. They jump out of the water, and they, you know, then they land back in the water, and they go under. But I'm in a very tiny rowboat. And every time they go underneath the water again, water splashes up on top of me and, you know, like into the boat. And I'm so panicked because I'm so afraid that, you know, too much water is going to get in the boat, or one of the whales is going to, yeah, just going to, you know, because, I mean, they're really close to me. It's just going to, like, send all this water my way, and then I'm going to go under, and I'm going to end up drowning in that big, dark ocean because of the whales. And it's just very odd. I've had that dream several times. I don't know. I am a type A personality. I do usually have, you know, a lot of stress in my life, but it's due to my own inability to, like, let things go. I feel like I always have to be doing something. I always have to be taking care of something. I have a very hard time relaxing, which is something I'm trying to change in my life because I know that stress is a horrible thing. And that's one of them.
Okay, I'm going to stop right there. We'll continue with the call in a second. I want to address the first dream before we jump into the rest of it. When you're taking a cruise, if you will, on a body of water, let's identify the boat that you're in. And you said it's something to do with, like, a rowboat or a canoe, something of that nature. I'm going to go kind of more with rowboat on this from what you told me, because I think the whales tie into it. pretty well with the symbolization here. Rowboats, when you have them in your dreams, they have something to do with hard work, with perseverance, and kind of trying to cope with problems and finding your own path through them. Okay, so that's essentially you. You are the rowboat. You are the thing that's, you're obviously in the rowboat. You're trying to get through these murky waters, these dangerous things that could be going on. The whale in the dream, those tend to have some sort of a connection to something to do with work or with business and difficulty handling it. So I would have to ask, is there something going on in your work life right now that may be interfering with your personal life, and you're trying to just trudge through your personal life, get through it? You are on your path, you know what you want, you know where you're going, but is there something that's kind of weighing that down a bit or somewhat threatening it? Maybe not directly yet, but maybe there's an anxiety that could be happening sometime soon. That's very likely what we're looking at here with the dream that you just described. So continue on with your other dream, and we'll talk about that next.
The other reoccurring dream is when my son was a baby. Well, my son is 19 years old right now, and he's away at school. And I have this reoccurring dream that he's a baby, and I'm walking down the street with him in my arms, and some man comes out of nowhere, and it's a dark figure. You can't make him out. You can't make out any features on him. And he's all of a sudden, I get the impression that this guy's following me. This isn't right. So I'm walking down, like, it could be any city street. It could be New York. It could be anywhere. And I stop at a red light, and I said, you know what, I'm going to stop here, and I'm going to cross the street. All of a sudden, he starts crossing the street, too. So then I say to myself in my head, I'm like, yeah, this guy's definitely following me. So I stop walking across the street, and I turn around to kind of, like, double back, you know, figuring, you know, let him keep crossing, and I'll just double back and go a different way, and, you know, go back the way I came. But all of a sudden, before I can double back, as I start to turn, that's when he kind of lunges at me, and he's usually got a big Michael Myers type of kitchen carving knife in his hand, and he starts trying to go after me with that knife. And all I can think about is protecting my son, who's still, you know, who's a baby, and he's in my arms, and I'm just kind of like holding on to him and trying to cover him as best I can with my arms. So I'm taking all of the cuts, all of the lashes that the guy's trying to give me with the knife, I'm taking them to my arms, but I'm doing it because I'm trying to protect my son. I don't want him to be cut. And I can't make this guy out at all. There's no features. It's just a dark figure. And I usually wake up from that, you know, feeling pretty awful. And I've had that, again, like I said, that's a reoccurring dream that I have also.
Okay, let's talk about that one before we go on to the next part of your call. And in this one, it may seem pretty dark and pretty strange and kind of extreme, but let's talk about what it means in a dream when you're being pursued or followed. And the fact that you're carrying your son, who is 19, but in the dream is a baby. This is something you're going to have to ask yourself about. And I would think a lot of parents deal with this, what I'm about to say. When you're dreaming of being pursued or followed, it has a lot to do with an inner refusing or acknowledgement of certain viewpoints or ideas or items in your life. And I'm wondering if that has to do with your son being a baby in the dream. You're holding him, you're protecting him. Is it the difficulty letting go and accepting that he is 19, that he's not a baby anymore, that he's not younger? I mean, those years go by so darn quick. I know, you know, I have a 5 and a 10-year-old, and I'm seeing that myself and experiencing that myself. And it's difficult. It's not an easy thing to kind of grasp your mind around. So it's nothing to be ashamed of, but it is something that we certainly need to deal with as parents. And I'm wondering if it's just the natural parenting in you, and the natural parenting, you just kind of trying to come to grips. So you got a grown up here now that's not the baby anymore, that you don't need to protect and you can't protect in a lot of ways. Is that what that dream is symbolizing? I think that's, if I were to guess, if I were to give you my opinion on it, which I just did, that would be where I would go with what the meaning is of that dream. Continue on with your next question.
The other thing was that I was curious about sleep paralysis, and I wasn't sure if I was experiencing sleep paralysis or not, but I have these situations where I'm lying in bed, I'm on my back, and it could be the early morning hours, you know, when you're just waking up from, you know, sleeping overnight, or sometimes it's the middle of the night. But I'm usually laying on my back. I wake up, but I don't open my eyes because I don't feel right. I feel like there's something there that I don't want to see, that I don't want to confront. And I can't move. I can't move my body, and I can barely breathe. I'm gasping to try to take a deep breath of air, and I can't. I can only take these, like, little baby shallow breaths of air, and it's really hard. It almost feels like something's pushing on my chest, keeping me from being able to breathe. And all I can say to myself, I can't breathe, I can't move, and I just keep repeating to myself, don't open your eyes, don't open your eyes. Whatever's there, I don't want to see it. And what I start to do is I start to say the Hail Mary, and I start to say the Our Father, and I just do it over and over again until finally something releases and I feel like I can breathe again. And I just take like this huge gasp of air. And at that point I can start to move, and I start moving again. And I, you know, that's when I feel like it's safe enough to open my eyes. So basically that's really what I wanted to call in about, between the reoccurring dreams, and I'm curious if the latter one, the last one I talked about, could be a form of sleep paralysis or whatnot, you know? But basically that was it. Thanks for listening, and I love you guys. You're phenomenal. I hope you get to use it. I'd really love to hear your take on it. And take care. Bye.
Sleep paralysis is a very interesting thing, and we hear about it quite a bit on our other program, which is called Real Ghost Stories Online, and we hear about it quite a bit on this show as well, now that it's been going for a little while. And without a lot of evidence outside of the sleep paralysis experience, meaning I saw this, I experienced this, and then there's some sort of physical thing in your room, meaning objects moved or something that would be completely unexplainable, it's difficult to say if a sleep paralysis experience was anything more than just a sleep paralysis experience or anything paranormal. And I think a lot of cases, and I think probably in most cases, because it's a fairly common thing, it is simply our minds. And it's simply just the state, the catatonic state that our bodies can get into and difficult to break out of. And that sounds like what you had going on there. Really just sounds like the classic definition of it. And I would suggest not opening your eyes if you're in a sleep paralysis state, because there can be some pretty freaky things that you'll see. Essentially, the way I kind of like to describe it is, do you remember color forms? At least that's what we call them. It's the sticky vinyl decals that we used to put on windows or on little, like, board forms that were cartoon sets almost, that you could then put the cartoon characters that were little vinyl pieces around and make little scenes. That's, I used to play with them a lot as a kid. I remember I had a Ghostbuster color form, if you will, and I would stick them on our patio door quite a bit. And that's a lot of what happens in sleep paralysis, is if you open your eyes, you will see your setting. You will see exactly what is around you. If you're, you know, laying on your bed, you're looking up, you'll see maybe some shelves, maybe your light ceiling fan, whatever is above you. And it's there. Or if you're peering out into your room, you'll see your room. You'll see a dresser, maybe a TV, whatever. Whatever's in that room physically in reality is there. What will also be appearing quite often is whatever your mind's going to project onto that, much like you'd have a color form or a vinyl decal being put in front of the window. Is there really a mermaid floating out on your deck, or is it just the decal that's impeding the view? Or in the case of a lot of sleep paralysis, is there really an old woman sitting on the end of your bed, or is it your mind projecting that, or whatever your mind may be projecting? For whatever reason, our minds project that old hag thing quite a bit. The older woman, the scary, maybe it's just a common fear, or a common, innate, image of scariness that we all share, or a lot of us share. Other folks have seen many other things, and some I would honestly say, from our other show, can be attributed to being something more than just sleep paralysis. But that's where there's a little more evidence out there beyond just, I saw this, I woke up, everything was normal. It's more so, I saw this, I woke up, and things were changed in my physical reality. So that is quite often what happens with sleep paralysis, is you'll see something out there that's not there. It's not paranormal, but it is your mind playing pretty creepy tricks on you. So unless you're up for a really good scare, I would suggest keeping your eyes shut when you're in that state. And just do what you do, whatever works for getting you out of it. If it's praying, if it's whatever it may be, I would do it. If it helps it, you break it. That would be the best thing, is to break out of that state in whatever tactic works for you individually. Thank you for sharing that call and those questions and those dreams with us. Always happy to give you some input. 1-800-606-7193. Our phone number here at Dream Meanings, dreamingradio.com is the website to check that out at. And of course, we are now on pretty much every podcast platform that's out there. iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeart, you name it. And then we end up getting picked up by all sorts of other podcast players and distributors and all that stuff. So we're probably on the platform that you like. I know we feed this out still through our normal feed of Real Ghost Stories Online. And if you listen to us on there, great. I appreciate that very much. It's kind of how we're kind of launching the show initially, so folks can figure out that we exist. But if you wouldn't mind, be sure to go and subscribe to us on our actual feed if you've not done so already. Eventually, we will stop feeding it through the feed of our big show, Real Ghost Stories Online, which this one has enough legs, if you will, to stand on its own. And then the shows will be exclusively on their own feed. So please do subscribe to the Dream Meanings feed on whatever, like I said, podcast platform you enjoy listening on. Let's go to let's go to a letter here on Dream Meanings today and jump into that. Vanessa writes in, always had insomnia and had really bad childhood, so the trauma from that has caused restless sleep. I've been dreaming more, however, and one thing I noticed that has always bothered me is that when I'm dreaming of being in what I know is supposed to be my home or childhood home or any place that is familiar with me, it never looks the same. It's just the knowledge of, oh, it's my apartment, but it looks nothing like my apartment. I've never had a dream where the layout or look is the same. Not sure why. Always thought that was weird. The other night I had a dream that my son almost got hit by a car, and it really rattled me, but I'm really protective of him, so that's probably why. So, says I have PTSD and terrible anxiety and panic attacks since childhood from trauma, but have managed to create a stable adulthood for myself and my son. Why do my dreams always create a place that doesn't look familiar in real life, but in my dream, I know what it is representing? Let's talk about that for a second. Number one, congratulations. Good for you. I'm very proud of you for being able to create a stable, happy environment for your son and your family and not repeat the horrible cycle that is often associated with childhood traumas. So good for you on that. Let's talk about it a little bit. Now, you know, you didn't really get into the detail of the childhood trauma. So if I'm doing some assuming here, I'm sorry, I won't go into any sort of assumption detail. I'm just going to operate on trauma that was, probably somewhat continual and not just a one-time event. That's what I'm going to, base my opinion on. If I'm wrong, I do apologize. But I think it ties into the settings always being something else, where you know what it is or what it's supposed to be or what it represents in name, but then doesn't represent in what it actually gives you. That is your mind still trying to deal with those childhood traumas right there. When you're a child, you expect, based on what you see around you from friends at school, from possibly other family members, if someone has a title of some sort, a title, a figure that's supposed to be trustworthy, loving, caring, and then in reality, they're not playing that part. They're doing, in fact, the opposite. That will then create a lot of confusion on the identity of that role. If this person is supposed to be doing this, why are they doing that? Why are they treating me this way when they're supposed to be treating me that way? I think it's your mind very much second-guessing and trying to deal with that confusion. And it's representing itself in settings. It's representing itself in, well, this is supposed to be my home, but why does it look that way? It's because you've been conditioned through that trauma to not necessarily get what you expect from said person, or in this case, area, or setting, or home, or whatever. If you're looking at it and it's totally different, it's constantly being prepared, and your mind trying to be prepared for the unexpected, which seems to be what you obviously probably went through with trauma. Trauma is never something that's expected. That's why it's trauma. And I think that's your mind trying to work through that. Now, your child getting hit by a car, I think, again, it's the unexpected. It's, how am I going to handle this? It's constantly waiting for that other shoe to fall. It's constantly waiting for that other thing to happen that shouldn't happen. And that's something where, you know, it has to be worked out, you know, mentally, so you're able to hopefully, you know, turn the volume down on this a bit. This is probably something where it's never going to completely be gone. You're never going to be able to press the mute button on the anxiety because of what you've gone through. But you can probably, and it sounds like you have, because it sounds like you're living a functional, good life with your child. That volume can probably still be turned down a bit more if you're still having these dreams. Probably never going to mute them, probably never going to turn them off. But hopefully can be less of a hindrance, less of an anxiety for you through some maybe professional counseling. And maybe you're already seeking that, but there's folks out there that can help to work through some of this stuff. And that's a lot of times the only way that some of this stuff gets turned down. So it's up to you, you know, how you want to handle that. In my personal opinion, that's what I would be looking at doing, to try and turn some of that stuff down if you have the ability to get some of that. I wish you all the best. Thank you for sharing that experience with us. Our phone number here is 1-800-606-7193, 1-800-606-7193. Let's go to another caller here on Dream Meanings.
Hi, my name is Natalie. I had this dream probably about 6 months ago, give or take, and it wasn't something that I remembered right when I woke up. I was actually on the way to visit my mother and sister-in-law. They live together. And I saw a butterfly flying. I was getting onto the expressway. I saw a butterfly, and it all of a sudden made me remember my dream, which was that night that I had that included my little niece, who's just turned 3, and I was in it as well. And I thought, oh, that's a sweet dream. I'll tell my sister-in-law when I go to see her. So I got to her house and kind of forgot about telling her about the dream, and we were sitting down and we were chatting, and she all of a sudden told me, oh, really funny, my daughter woke up this morning and she told me that she was catching butterflies with your daughter, but we had just woken up, so I'm pretty sure that she was dreaming about that. And I just immediately got goosebumps, because pretty much the dream goes, and it's a short dream, but the dream was, I was in my backyard, and my niece was in front of me, and she was chasing after butterflies. Now, my backyard does get butterflies pretty often, the little black and orange ones that you see down here in Florida. And so she had one of those little butterfly nets that you can catch the butterflies with. She was laughing and enjoying herself. And in my dream, I knew that my daughter was behind me, but I didn't see her in my dream. And that was pretty much it as far as what I remember of the dream. But what I found so fascinating is that when my sister-in-law told me that, it was the fact that both my niece and I had the same exact dream. In her dream, she remembered my daughter being there, but she didn't mention me, which normal because she is young and she's very close to my kids because she's an only child, so she considers them like siblings. And she's not all that interested in me because I'm an adult. She's more interested in the kids. So it would make sense that in her dream, even if she saw me, that I would kind of be an afterthought and the person that she would remember was my daughter. Now, the next thing I thought of was, well, maybe it's just an actual memory. Maybe we were, because I mean, it was a very normal occurrence just hanging out in the backyard, which we do all the time, and catching butterflies, why not? But in my dream, she had that butterfly net catcher, and I knew for a fact that we didn't have any of those, nor did they. So at the end of the day, my niece and I had, and we're in a dream together, same night, and we don't even live together or anything like that. So I just found it so extraordinary that this little girl and I could have a dream and be connected in that way. Now, she's my niece and I love her, but we're actually not blood because it's my husband's brother's daughter. So it's not like it's my sister or my brother's child. So I find that even more fascinating that even though we're not blood, we obviously are connected in some strong way for us to have this dream. I don't know what it meant. I don't really, it was very lighthearted and happy. I don't even know if the meaning is important. I found the fact that we had a dream together in each other's dreams the most fascinating thing ever. So that's it. It's my dream. Hope you enjoyed it. Thank you so much. Love your show. Listen to the ghost stories all the time. Bye-bye.
Now that's an example of a dream where there is certainly an argument for it to be something beyond just psychological, and that there could be something unexplained going on there. Without a doubt, I totally acknowledge that. Let's take a look at it though from another perspective, and just see if maybe anything makes sense, and you'll be the judge of that. Oftentimes, when we dream about things, the symbolism in them is carried and can be carried from one person to the next. Actions in dreams do quite often mean the same thing, whether you're dreaming it, whether your niece is dreaming it, whether your sister's dreaming it, whether anyone's dreaming it. It has wide-ranging direction and meaning behind it. So when you're with someone on a regular basis and you're talking about things, you're expressing opinions, you're expressing thoughts, likes, anxieties, everything, you're just spending life with someone. And I know you don't live with that person, but that doesn't necessarily matter. If you spend a lot of time with them, and it sounds like you do, and that she's an only child, views your kids as siblings. I had a very similar upbringing with my cousins, because I'm an only myself. And you're close with your family. A lot of people within a family, they end up sharing, even if it's kids, in some ways, shapes, and forms, the same, anxieties, the same joys, the same excitements, simultaneously. So here's what it means when you have butterflies in your dreams. Think about this a little bit, and this is specifically about when you're dreaming, you're catching butterflies. There's two possibilities here. It's a subconscious look at things being superficial, meaning, do you look at things superficially? Has that been a topic of conversation between you and her. I mean, this is something that's a common thing with kids and you know, especially growing up, like learning what's superficial and what's not superficial, what's important in life. So I'm wondering if that could have been something that was brought up. That's something that, that tends to pop up in dreams when that's something that's on the mind. It can also have something to do with either of yours possessiveness nature, if that's something. If that's something that maybe you're thinking about right now or have been concerned with or are aware of. Is there a possessiveness within her that you've seen with things? And is that something that, that maybe you share that trait of? And is that something that is coming at odds together on? Is it something you've just both noticed in each other? Is it something that is just there? And maybe it's something that, that you're wanting to do less of. Though I'm not saying that that's it either, but those are possibilities when it comes to dreaming about butterflies. It tends to have to do with people's possessive natures, and it has to do with being aware of being superficial. So if any of that makes any sense, I don't know. That's where it'd be helpful if you could say, yes, I never thought of it that way. This does tie in pretty well. Or you're nuts. But those are some possibilities beyond just the extraordinary fact that you both had the same dream, which is very, very odd. So just something extra to think about beyond the extraordinariness of the situation that you just described to me. So think about it and let us know. 1-800-606-7193, our phone number here at Dream Meanings. Daniel writes into us, "Hi, I'm addicted to your Ghost Stories podcasts, and I'm now loving this new show, Dream Meetings. This is my first time submitting, and I'm very excited to maybe hear you read it on the podcast. A word of warning, though, this might end up being very long. A bit of background first. Not too long ago, I lost contact with a girl that I was seeing romantically, and it really broke my heart. This girl and I had a crazy connection. We loved all the same things, had the same morals, same goals in life, and even our childhood nicknames were eerily similar. Even though we had not known each other for very long, we would often say what the other was thinking and have identical reactions to things. I was smitten. I was sure that this relationship was one that would last a long time, if not forever. Unfortunately, due to some chaotic variabilities in both of our lives, work, school, family obligations, dates had to be canceled, and contact slowly dwindled into nothing. I still wonder about her constantly, hoping that I can see my cell phone light up with a text or that I bump into her at some random outing, but I never do. Anyway, I had this dream about a week ago. In the dream, I was with her, of course, and she was showing me around some kind of vacation home or playhouse. It was this long castle-like building colored in pale pink and blue, almost like a child's toy castle. The castle was separated into two halves by a winding path in the middle, and each half had its own elevated passage covered by arches. It was open to the outside, and you could see the sky, the path in the middle, and into the other half of the castle. The inside guardrail edge of the passages were fish tanks filled with colorful fish and crystal blue water. The outside half of each passage had shelves of cool toys and trinkets and a few rooms, but we'd never went in them. She told me that she would spend a lot of time in this place when she was a kid, and we went along the left passage, and she would show me things and explain what she did with them. I can't remember everything she showed me, but one thing stood out to me was a pair of bunk beds. One was a triple-layered bunk bed with three mattresses smushed real tight together. The other strangely resembled the bunk bed that I would sleep in when I was young. I stare at the second bunk bed for a bit until time suddenly jumps forward. In the bathroom now, in stark contrast to the rest of the castle, this bathroom is gray, dimly lit, and a bit grungy. To my right, there's a tub. Above the tub is a long rectangle-shaped opening against the ceiling where sunlight is shining through. While I'm using the bathroom, there are birds perching on the edge of this opening, and moths and other bugs are flying in and out. I'm not particularly fond of being watched while I relieve myself, so I finish up as quickly as possible. Time jumps again, and I'm with the girl walking down the middle of the path of the castle. I'm really impressed with this vacation home, so I get this idea in my head that I'm going to tease her and say, "Wow, you were really rich. She's walking a bit ahead of me, so I start to walk a little bit faster to catch up. But as I'm moving towards her, she starts to move faster and faster until she's running away from me. I'm frantically chasing after her, but I can't catch her. Eventually, I give up on the chase, but she's still running around in circles. She looks upset while she's running, but she never leaves my sight or stops. I position myself so she runs straight into me, and when she does, I embrace her and hold tight. She kisses me, and the dream fades. I wake up feeling strangely at peace, like some of the heartache from losing her is gone, like maybe we'll see each other again. I've been struggling with depression and anxiety a big portion of my life. Lately, I've really been making an effort to combat it, and I feel like I'm finally making some progress towards real happiness. My job is moving me to another state, although I'm not very fond of my job. It's giving me the opportunity to live on my own for the first time, and there's a lot of uncertainty in my future. The whole girl heartbreak thing I mentioned earlier. What's all the imagery about? The castle, the fish, the bunk beds, the bathroom, birds, bugs. There's just so many pieces that don't seem to fit. Could this be a message or something made of my subconscious? Well, I don't know that every single thing in the dream necessarily has a ton of significance associated with it. So let's talk about some of the bigger pieces in the dream. Obviously, the castle. Let's start there because that seems to be, you know, the main setting of this dream. Castles in dreams can have various meanings. What I would associate with this one specifically might be something to do with a desire to escape from life's daily problems or from where you're at, which may be just simply, you know, your new job, you're moving into a new position, you're going to be out on your own. It's a big step. It's a step from if you've only lived at home with parents into your own place, that's a big step. It really is kind of the last cutoff there from childhood to adulthood, even if you are an adult already. It's that final string that you can cut there to get off on your own. So that may have something to do with the castle. What I would take out of the castle more so than just kind of what the traditional meaning of dreams would put at it is, I think the girl and the castle are connected because it sounds like, you know, they both showed up at the same time in the dream. I think it may be kind of just a fairy tale idea that you have in your mind of that this is, or this has to be the person, the right person. And I'm sure you had a great relationship and things may happen again. You may reconnect. It sounds like, you know, you're fairly young and there's a lot of road ahead of you. You'd be surprised, although some things seem like they're just dead in the water and they're never going to happen again and you're never going to reconnect. You'd be surprised how years down the road, other people or people from your past may pop back up again and relationships can start back up. So I think there may be some of that where it's kind of the fairy tale idea and the castle represents all that could be, all that that you want it to be, the desire of this being the perfect girl, the perfect relationship. And let's be honest, if it was the perfect girl in the perfect relationship at the perfect time, all three of those things, I don't think the connection would have been broken right now. And I'm saying all three things. I'm not saying that two of those could not be correct, but the timing I think is what was probably not the correct part of that. So you kind of feel like you got two of the three there. And if only the third one worked out, it would be all perfect, right? But that's not how reality worked. We have to deal with reality and reality's terms. Bunk beds. Let's talk about that in the dream because I think it connects to the innocence of it. That's what they do. They represent childhood innocence, pretty much exactly. It can also refer to conflicting issues with things in your life, in your romantic life, which that makes sense. The girl is right there, and it's a bunk bed. That's kind of insinuating separate beds. Difficulties expressing your needs and desires. Did you, when you were together, really express to her exactly how you felt about her, just like you did in the letter to us? is she aware of just how strong those feelings were, or was there some difficulty there? Was there some holding back in fear of being judged or being too taken too heavy or what have you? Are you reexamining some of that and feeling like, you know, maybe you weren't clear enough on your feelings, or maybe it wasn't reciprocated to the level that you were feeling it? That's what bunk beds can mean. And I think the fact that represents is in the dream as kind of a conflicting point in the dream with the girl in the castle in the perfect place, and the conflict is there. I think that is all this subconscious trying to work out. Is this really what I think it is, what I want it to be, or is this a good relationship that I had, a good experience that I had, but maybe that's not it. Maybe it's not the fairy tale that I thought it was with this castle and all of that. With life and with experience will give you perspective, and that will help you put into context of just how impactful and meaningful this relationship that you had stacks up against others that you will have in your life. Unless for some reason you guys get back together really soon and it turns into something and it can continue to grow that. But you may end up a couple of years down the road, and it sounds like your mind's already trying to work with this and try and figure it out without having the context. You may end up a couple of years down the road looking at it from one of two ways. That was a great time. It was a fun time. That was a really nice girl. We had a lot in common, and it was great. But I think I found something better here that I never thought I could find. Or you may look back on it and say, that was a really nice girl. That was a really great time. We had so much in common, and I've never met anyone else like her yet. And only time will tell. But you have to understand that you're in control of your life, and you're in control of your actions and your feelings. And we live in a day and age where we can communicate with almost anyone very, very easily and express our thoughts and feelings. So if I were you, if you're not seeing anyone else, she's not seeing anyone else, it doesn't hurt to reach out, even if you're moving away. Just to say, hey, I really enjoyed this. I think this could be something special. Do you want to explore this a little bit more? Or are we just, is it just the wrong time for us right now? And we'll just kind of see what happens. It's up to you. There's no right or wrong answer to any of this. It all very much depends on your individual situations and your life. But from my experience, I've discovered it doesn't hurt to have the conversations. If anything, to get some closure. Thanks for writing in and sharing your experiences with us. That wraps up today's episode of Dream Meetings. 1-800-606-7193 is the phone number. If you want to share your dream with us, you can write it on the website at dreamingradio.com and share your dream with us that way. We'd love to hear it and love to put it on a future episode of the program. Until next time, I am Tony Bruschi. Thank you for listening to another episode of Dream Meetings.